Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
I'm going to read James chapter 1 for you, and then we're going to pray, and I'm going to share the words that God has put on my heart. James 1 in the Passion Translation says, My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things. And here's the good part. And then, everyone say, and then, do it with attitude. I'm trying to get my Africa vibe on. And then, as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word and your presence and the absolute honor and privilege, Lord, of being here in your house. Lord, I pray for every man, woman, and child that you will bless them, pour out your spirit, your word. This word I commit to you, Father. Oh, Holy Spirit, come and breathe on your word. Take it deep within our hearts and transform us in your name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. I was telling the other services that this year and, you know, different things that I've been speaking about and preaching about and talking about, I've kind of been putting it in a certain language and calling it nuggets of gold, all right? Nuggets of gold. And basically, they've just been random thoughts. Sometimes it's just good to, like, preach in a theme and what have you. Sometimes it's just good to be random. Hallelujah. So they've just been random thoughts, random truths that have been close to my heart and have been part of my story in recent times. They're things that I sometimes see our own team wrestling with, and they're things that maybe hopefully might help you this morning in Jesus' name, amen. So on the screen, we have the definition of what a nugget is, a nugget of gold. Are you with me? Okay, I think Africa is full of nuggets of gold. I mean, real gold, diamonds, minerals. She's a rich land, okay. But a nugget, by definition, is literally a valuable idea or fact, or a lump of gold found ready formed in the earth. A valuable idea, fact, or truth, or a lump of gold found ready formed in the earth. And when I read that, it resonated because, again, in context of kingdom and word and truth, do you know that everything that we need in life is ready formed? Everything that we need in life, whether that is wisdom or insight or direction, whatever it is, it already exists. Because scripture tells us that there is nothing new under the sun. Revelation is new every day. What God gives us is revelation, is layers deep. It also says that everything that needs to be said and done has been said and done. So again, everything that we need is already in existence. It is just a question of you and I discovering it. You and I hungering and thirsting enough after God to actually dig for it in the Word of God, dig for it in prayer, and discover it. Amen? So it's in this context I'm speaking this morning. So I'm going to just give you two nuggets of gold, if I may, this morning. And I'm going to wrap them in the language of heavenly calling. Do you like that? Everyone say heavenly calling. Isn't that just lovely? Amen. Okay, the book of Hebrews in the Bible, the New Testament, magnificent. But in the book of Hebrews, it speaks of being invited. It speaks of fastening certain things into our reality, our mindset, our heart. And it speaks constantly of this wonderful thing, this adventure that we have been invited to, which is actually the house of God. So I want to read Hebrews chapter 3 to you again in the Passion. And it says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, you are now made holy. If you are in Christ, you have been made holy, and you can relax, okay? Now, that doesn't mean that we just stop there. It means that there is an ongoing revelation. There is an ongoing redemption of our mindsets and our emotional reality and our body, everything like that. But the declaration is that in Christ, we are made holy. And it says, and each of you is invited to the feast of your heavenly calling. So fasten your thoughts fully onto Jesus, whom we embrace as our apostle and king priest. For he was faithful to the Father who appointed him, in the same way that Moses was a model of faithfulness in what was entrusted to him. Verse 5, indeed, Moses served God faithfully in all he gave him to do. His work prophetically illustrates things that would later be spoken of and fulfilled. May I pause here, because I don't have time to enlarge on this, but how wonderful to live prophetically and with time and distance and history and down through time for others to look back and say, you know what? They lived prophetically. I really hope and pray that, you know, should the Lord tarry and not return in our generation, but in generations to come, that they will look back on this generation in Uganda, in Kampala, and beyond, and say, you know what? They left a legacy. They lived prophetically, and what they lived in is being spoken of down here. You have the capacity to do that. It goes on and it says in verse 6, but Christ is more than a servant. But Christ is more than a servant. He was faithful as the son in charge of God's house. And now, here it is, and now we are part of his house if we continue courageously to hold firmly to our bold confidence and our victorious hope. How good is God's word? Two nuggets of gold today. The first one is this: heavenly calling is a feast. Everyone say that. Heavenly calling? It is a feast. Hallelujah. It is a feast that we are all invited to. Again, verse 1 of Hebrews says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, you are now made holy, and each of you is invited to the feast of your heavenly calling. Everything about the kingdom of God is both collective and individual. There is a collective calling. There is a collective feast that we're a part of and invited to. But it has no power unless the individual becomes part of that story. And so, yes, there is a feast that the body of Christ is called to. But you know what? Within that, each and every one of us, according to this translation and the spirit of Scripture, we are invited to the feast of our own personal, tailor-made, unique, heavenly calling. And I want to drive home that revelation today that in your life, not the person next to you necessarily, because sometimes you think, oh, it's for them, it's not for me. No, 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 it is for all of us. And I do think that the power of God's word is in the meditation. You know, sometimes you've just got to stare at it and look at it until it comes into view, until God layers it back in our understanding. And so I think when we even just stop for a moment and think about the word feast, oh my goodness, what a beautiful word. He is saying you're invited to the feast of your heavenly calling, not the famine of your heavenly calling, a feast of abundance, of joy, of provision, of vision, of enablement, empowerment, a feast of anointing, not a famine of lack nor scarcity. If there are any pastors and leaders in here, your heavenly calling, your mandate is not a famine of lack, nor scarcity, nor dullness. It is wondrous in Jesus' name. I was saying in the previous service that Wetoto Church rightfully and correctly boasts that by the grace of God, she is raising a generation of leaders. So let me speak to you as leaders right now. As leaders, longevity, length of days, it can be your friend, or it can be your foe. Longevity, length of days, friend or foe. It can have you going from strength to strength, from depth to depth, like we've sung of this morning, from awakening to awakening, or it can dull your senses. Length of days, journey, distance, it can dull your senses, dull what I call your joyous eyes of faith into you, into a familiarity that can have you forgetting how glorious this calling is. I'm here to challenge that today if that's remotely where you might be sitting. Your joyous eyes of faith, my joyous eyes of faith, are critical. They're critical. God's saying they're critical, guys. I need your joyous eyes of faith to stay alive and bright and alert. Do you know, can I remind us that the lens through which we look is so critical, and the enemy loves to impair our vision. I love that this church has vision, and I compel you to lean into the vision, because without progressive prophetic vision, you dwell carelessly. And I want you to lean into the vision of the miracle offer. I want you to lean into everything, because you know what? It is God ordained, and what it's going to do is it's going to enlarge you, and it's going to stretch you, and it's going to take you into miracle territory. But you know what? The enemy loves to impair that vision, and if he can impair it or compromise it, he will, because then he can sabotage or thwart what God is wanting to do in your life, whether that is personal or vision for your family or vision for a child that is estranged and in trouble, whatever your vision might be. And you know, the enemy, and I often reference the enemy because he's real, but let me tell you something. He is not all-knowing, and he is not all-present, and he's a little bit brain-damaged. Because remember, somewhere in the equation, Jesus stomped on his head. So he's a little bit like brain-damaged. But nevertheless, we have an enemy, and he is not more powerful than our God. And he is not more powerful than the authority that is in you and I in Christ. But you know what? He loves to impair vision if he can. And sometimes he does that by clouding perspective. How critical is perspective? Perspective can take a person off track. Man, if you believe a certain perspective, it can become as truth. And if we don't like steward our perspective, it can lead to deceptions. And so our perspective is critical. And I think in my life and testimony, the only times that I become a little bit unstable in my calling or in my confidence is when I allow perspective to either be compromised or it comes under attack. And both of these realities can happen. So we rise up if it's under attack, and we take responsibility if it's like our own doing. Because we, hallelujah, by reason of the fact that God has given us choice, we can be engineers of our own dysfunction if we are not careful. So our perspective is critical in life. I think the enemy can impair vision by casting shadows over our path or over the path of those alongside of us. How many of you ever experienced a beautiful sunny day, okay? Not a cloud in the sky, right? Yes, hands up. You have beautiful weather in Uganda. So imagine a beautiful, clear day, again, and then suddenly like a little collection of clouds come across. Some clouds roll over and they cast their shadow on the path. Have you ever seen that happen? Well, as much as that happens in the natural, it can happen in the spiritual. The enemy can come in and cast shadows over our path that can cloud and cause our thinking to become overcast. And we need to also steward these realities and discern what is happening, because we don't just do life alone, we do life alongside others. And so the clouds or the overcast thinking that can come on you affects others. And likewise, what might be on their life can affect you. And we need to learn to discern this and take authority, because again, we have an enemy that loves to disturb unity. And he loves to compromise unity. And he loves to cast shadows. And you can use any form of analogy or metaphor here. You know, God sees us as a vine, the vineyard of his church. But what is it, Ecclesiastes or Song of Songs? Song of Songs says, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little clouds that can roll in, and if we don't discern what's going on, our thinking can get a bit screwed up, and then suddenly, like, we're thinking things that we don't need to think, and then we're affecting others. So what I'm exhorting us to do is take responsibility for what is going on in our lives, amen? And then, of course, he can impair vision by just playing his dirty little games that can diminish the wonder of calling into something less than it truly is. This heavenly calling that I'm exhorting about, this heavenly calling is nothing more. It is not necessarily platform or microphone or opportunity or whether you're going to be an author or whether you're going to be the next Reinhard Bonnke of Africa, okay? This heavenly calling, in its essence, is the calling home of humanity. the calling home of humanity to this whole new world. Every part we play, whether in ministry, whether with a title or a sticker on your chair, whether you're serving out there, whether you're running a connect group, whatever you might be doing, whether you're raising up and looking after those babies and those mums out on the villages, everything is simply about calling home people, calling them home, beckoning them home to this wonder. To this wonder, to this whole new world. It is, as Marilyn gave expression, it is the why of Christ's horrific death on the cross. The word says, for the joy that was set before him as he hung on that cross, for the joy that was set before him, he endured. And I often think, what was that joy? What did he see as he hung and took our sin and took our place? Do you know what he saw? He looked down through time, history, centuries. He looked down through the chronicles of time and he saw the likes of you and I coming home, crossing that threshold and walking back into the presence of the Father. That was the joy. That's why he did it. You know, it is, I believe it is the golden ticket of this world. This world is out there searching for the magic, the golden ticket, the answers to life. But you know what? We carry that golden ticket, if I may say. We carry the answers. When you walk home, when you catch your taxi home or whatever you do this afternoon, you carry on your life the ticket that they're all looking for. The elusive why of life, you carry it in Jesus' name. There was a film called Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. It's very old, about a candy land. And so this Willy Wonka or whoever, he put 5 golden tickets in chocolate bars and sent them all around the world. And then whoever opened the chocolate bar and got the golden ticket got to come and visit the candy land. But you know what? What we hold in our hands, our ticket is not to some candy land. It is to a land of truth and freedom and identity that sets free in Jesus' name. I love it. So I just want to encourage you, my darlings, to not ever allow the natural mundanities of life, even as a Christian. Sometimes life gets monotonous and mundane, or just allow the non-glamorous side of life. Never allow anything like that, nor the strategies of the enemy to beguile you into thinking that serving God is underwhelming when it is indeed overwhelming. Yes, in the most wonderful sense. So stay willow-like. Oh, he's a whole new world. Stay Christ-like. Stay eyes wide open. Don't go to sleep. Awake, awake, Zion. Put on your beautiful garments. Do not go to sleep. These are not days for falling asleep in Christ. Unless you're going to die and go to heaven. But you know what I'm saying? Stay wide-eyed. Stay in the wonder. My son and United wrote a beautiful album called Wonder. And I love that they did, because in a world that was dark, to have something that points people to wonder and to light and to the gorgeousness of it all is incredible. Stay eyes on Christ and this beautiful upward calling that we have in him. And I want you to hear this. I want you to stay immune. I exhort you to stay immune to the pending gloom of the times. Isaiah 60 says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." You all know it, right? "For darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people." And the amplified deep darkness on the people is things like gloom, depression, despair, anxiety, despondency, sadness. I want to challenge us as the body of Christ to stay immune from that, where it is coming like a shadow land over the world, where anxiety is rising. Don't let that get a foot in the door of your soul, of your spirit, of your life, of your family, by the grace of God. And the reason I say that is because it is a reality. It is a current reality in this world. I was sharing a conversation that I had with one of the great men of God in our world. He was telling how he'd had a difficult week that week because it had become known to them that there was a genetic disorder in their family, a genetic disorder that basically was present in every single person, apparently. And they'd had a difficult week because they had had to tell their entire family, their children, their grandchildren, everyone, that this genetic disorder is present, and that should it take root, it's actually pretty horrible, fairly disgusting. And I remember him saying this to me, and I was listening, and I was like, Father, I need a word of wisdom here. I need a word of wisdom. And I felt a word of wisdom. I said, hey, listen to me. No. I know this is a really bad report, and we're not going to be like an emu that puts our head in the sand and not pay attention to the reality. But you, in Christ, are immune of this. You, in Christ, you are in Christ. You are a citizen of heaven. You are under a new covenant. You have different blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, flowing through your veins that has the capacity to even change our bloodlines, our blood. No. You are immune of this report. And I got authoritative, and I'm like, no. And besides that, you have spent your entire life loving this word and teaching this word. This word has been infused into you. This word has been engrafted into you like an injection of life. No. You are immune of this hideous report. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, wow, and even our fellowship is different. The air that we breathe. When we come together in godly fellowship, huh? This air, it might be hot and steamy and stuffy, but in the spirit realm, this air is pure. This air is not full of contagion and germs. This air that we breathe in our fellowship is full of life and faith and words of wisdom and truth. So we are immune. You might be facing something in your life today, and that word I just said resonates with you. Allow it to go deep in Jesus' name. Amen. So I personally love Hebrews. I do. Amen. We've been invited. We're going to fasten our thoughts, and we're going to move on. Second thing, heavenly calling. Amen. I'll go quick on this one. Heavenly calling. Number two, heavenly calling is a roller coaster. It is a roller coaster. It is a roller coaster of many, many, many things. But I believe that God would have it be a roller coaster adventure of discovering His ease and His surprise in our lives. Amen? Amen. Kingdom is full of metaphor. It speaks of the kingdom in context of soldier, athlete, and farmer. And I think all of you would agree that nothing comes to those who don't work. Nothing comes to those who never harness bold or righteous convictions to live by. Nothing comes to those who aren't prepared to then labor and fight for those same convictions. And I believe that calling, heavenly calling 101, exhorts us to pick up our cross, put our hand to the plow, and if need be, die for the cause of those convictions. However, my opinion, I do not believe that God wants us actually to die in the process of serving Him. He doesn't. He doesn't want us to die in the process. And yes, Christ talks about yoke and burden. They're all real. But then He also says, but hey, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Nevertheless, yoke and burden exist. But He says, listen to me. In me, there's a mystery here. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So yes, carrying one's cross. And yes, laboring in the field. And yes, facing the challenges that test our devotion and our convictions and our endurance. They all come with a certain blood, sweat, and tears. And they all come sometimes with that rush of hormone in our natural person, those hormones that can create pressure or stress or anxiety. But I want to say to you again that Jesus made a way in the middle of all of this. He made a way. He made a way for rest within the labor. He wants us to labor and work hard, but He's made a way for rest within it. He's made a way for peace within the challenge. You may think, Bobby, what do you know of challenge? What do you know? I know a lot of challenge. I've known a lot of spiritual warfare in what we do. And I'm telling you, the Prince of Peace is waiting to be discovered in the midst of your challenges. He is the Prince of Peace. And I believe that there is composure to be found in the outworking of His plans for our lives. the outworking of his plans. It can have us all hectic and crazy and oh my gosh, but he wants us to find a composure to walk through that journey with ease. That's why he gives us verses like, you know, Hebrews 4:11, where it says, strive to enter that rest. Now listen, we're not supposed to strive for anything. And yet scripture is saying strive to enter that rest. My husband tells our team, nothing is accomplished with striving. Yet, scripture says, strive, there is one striving you want to do. And that is to strive to enter the mystery and the miracle of my rest. So let me tell you a story. Earlier this year, I think two people prophesied and spoke over my life, and they said, Bobby, this is going to be a year of ease for you. A year of ease, right? Isn't that lovely? Praise the Lord. A year of ease. I was like, oh, that's so nice. Thank you. And I thought, what does that even mean? I don't even know what that means. Because honestly, my schedule looked more crazy than ever. And I thought, what does that mean? So rather than just let it go over my head like we often do, today's word can go over your head or it can land in your spirit. So I chose not to let it go over my head, and I chose to meditate it, actually. What does that mean, God? A year of ease. And I chose to believe it, actually, that this hectic year I was in, I chose to believe it. I chose to believe that within the encouragement of, Bobby, this is going to be a year of ease for you, that within the encouragement was perhaps a challenge of a discipline that maybe God wanted me to know more about. And I chose then to apply the discipline. Even coming here this week, we've had a huge week. For an old girl, we've had a huge week. Preaching 5 times this weekend for you guys. Do you know what I mean? I chose to find the ease. I chose to apply the discipline. And you know what I'm discovering? Like everything in the Word of God, it's a revelation. Discovering His ease in your life. Revelation. It's revelation that is ongoing. It is personal. I can tell you about it, but you have to discover it. It's one that will be tested again and again. It's one that only strengthens with application and with practice. It's one that I believe needs to serve us well going into the future, because the world is becoming more and more hectic. And the last thing they need to see is hectic Christians. Again, on that note, professionals are saying that dis-ease and mental illness are increasing. And of late, I have observed great men and women leaders on the front line suffering dis-ease, suffering anxiety that has been a little bit crazy. And so I'm thinking, God, what are you doing here? You know, like, is this the sign of the times? Are we all just going to have anxiety in the days that are ahead? And I'm not diminishing that. If you've got stuff going on in your life, seek help and seek medical advice. But listen to me, the body of Christ, no. Our mind is in Christ. Our heart is in Christ. And so I've observed these things, and I'm not saying that to incite fear in anyone. I'm just saying let's be mindful of these things. And let's remember, I think, that there wouldn't be a legend of old in this Bible, nor any natural soldier who doesn't go to battle, who doesn't go into new territory, who hasn't felt the rush of those hormones, that adrenaline rush, that cortisol rush, that can have us feeling crazy and anxious and whatever. It's part of God's given equation. God has put those things into our lives for a reason. They're given to help us be alert, to fight, hallelujah, to survive. But when those hormones, when those things, those dynamics don't recede again, when we stay in high alert, when we stay in anxiety, when we stay in the pressure, it's not good for us. It's very detrimental. And this is why we need the breath of God. We need the breath of God. I'm going to ask the worship team to come and join me. We need the breath of God to put all of these dynamics back into balance. We need the breath. It's the Spirit of God alongside of us, the pneuma of God, the breath of God that reminds us of things when we're in the fray, huh? When we're on the roller coaster of life, He reminds us that if he has called us, then he actually has graced us. He reminds us that the Father will never require of us what we are unable to deliver. He reminds us, the spirit breath reminds us that there is a well of salvation within us that can be drawn upon. How many times do we forget to draw upon the well of salvation in Christ? And it can be as high and deep and wide as you'd like, because in Christ there is no limit. So you can draw a tiny little like mouthful from the well of salvation, or you can like dive in. It's there for you and I. This breath of God reminds that he is the spirit alongside to help us. Have you ever said, God, I need help. I need help. I can't do this, God. I need help. He's saying, I'm right here. I am right here. I'm right here. I am your helper. I am your strength. I am your advocate. I am the great I am. He reminds that, you know, it's not by might nor power, but amen. And it reminds that unless the Lord builds the house or the dream or the mandate, we labor in vain. It reminds us that we're not the only generation to have ever experienced anything. And sometimes we think, oh, I'm the only person. It's like, no, you're not. There is a great host in heaven who is saying, no, you're not. We've been through it. We know, we understand. Read my book. Read my book, they're saying. In Jesus' name. And it reminds that whilst we strive within ourselves, we leave no room for his miracle working power. When we strive within ourselves, we leave no room for his miracle working power. I'm going to leave you with this thought. I love it. You know, when we have the mind of Christ, when we seek the mind of Christ, when we desire the heart of God, when we realize we have this genius Holy Spirit alongside, we will always stay on track. And if we're on track, then there's going to be light and lamp enough. And this table, this divine table, this heavenly divine table, you know what? It is full of surprise. Ease and surprise. You know what the surprise normally is? Not a free car or something like that. That's lovely. The surprise is discovering there is more in you than you realized. You go, wow, there was more in me than I realized. And that's the objective. I love it. This beautiful table is divine. It's a spread. It's a feast. And here's the deal. We come to it with nothing. We bring nothing to the table. And we walk away with everything. And Jesus endlessly knocks on the door of our heart. He knocks and he says, hey, open for me. Open the door. I will come in and sup with you and you with me. There's a daily feast, friends, a daily feast. And I exhort you to hunger and thirst after him. Amen. I love you. I pray the word of God has been truth to you today.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope this message has inspired you to spread the love of Jesus. If you would love to know more information about us, please visit www.watotochurch.com.